Be seated. If you would turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. My subject tonight, God works when the church prays. Amen. Thank you for participating in this 21-day season of prayer and fasting. As I said earlier, we do this every year to set the course for the rest of the year. The church must pray, and pray we must. God moves when people call out and cry out to him in prayer. We're in a war, and if we're ever going to be the church triumphant, we must become the church militant. That means that you've got to suit up, put on the whole armor of God, and be ready to fight the good fight of faith. God is a sovereign God. He's an all-powerful God. But power has never been the issue between God and Satan. Authority is the issue, and Jesus came to give the church the authority that belonged to mankind. He did that so we could win the battles of life. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So tonight I'm going to review some things that may be elementary to some of you. You may have never heard these things. But there are certain scriptures I'm going to use tonight in my introduction, and if you don't know these scriptures, if you want to be a prayer warrior, you need to memorize them. You need to know where they are and what they say. For my text, I've chosen 2 Corinthians 10:13. Great apostle said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." You see, there's a battle going on. They're not carnal, they're not natural, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Why, what are we going to pull down? Well, here it is, verse 5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Well, he's the Word. He's the Logos. He's the Eternal One. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. So every thought, every imagination, every pain, every sorrow, every sickness, every disease, no matter what comes against you, every lack in your life, cast down those imaginations. Start proclaiming God's word, because the devil will try to rob you of what God has already provided for you, and that's victory, joy, and the more abundant life. My subject tonight, God works when the church prays. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the everlasting gospel, the word of God that's forever settled in heaven. Lord, you have raised us up to, as the church triumphant, to settle your word on earth. Lord, thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for the blessings upon the homes and the families that are here. Lord, in this new year, I thank you for provision that there, you have promised that if we will give, if we will pay our tithes, if we will do what your word commands, you said that you would supply all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, I release jobs into this place. I release freedom in the financial area, Lord. I release healings and anointing because, Lord, we're about the Father's business. And when we pray, the church triumphant prays, then, Father, you work. Bless us tonight. Give us revelation. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. You've heard me preach it many times. Power is not the issue when it comes to dealing with the devil and the area of darkness. It is an issue of authority. Look at Luke 10:19. We've rehearsed this. I've preached it hundreds of times from this pulpit. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power." That word is exousia, authority. Your New King James Version, it says, "Behold, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power." So that second word in the Greek is dunamis, and it's power. But the devil, he has some power, but he does not have all power. All power belongs to God. And the issue is not power. The devil has no power over us. He'll tell you that he does. But I'm here to tell you, he has no power over you. The things I used to struggle with, I pushed that devil around. Anytime someone comes in my prayer line and wants deliverance, I have no problem pushing him around. He realizes that I know who I am in Christ, that I have authority over him. It's not a power issue. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you need to understand this. Authority is the key issue. It has never been a power issue, because God has been, always is, and always will be all-powerful. God is omnipotent. That means that he is all-powerful. He will always be just who he is. So the first Adam, what he gave away when he transgressed God's law, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, he regained it at Calvary. He stripped the devil of his authority, and he made a show of him openly. And then he turned around and he gave that authority to the church. If you don't believe it, just look at these scriptures that I'm going to use tonight. Look at 1 John 3 and 8. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. You see that the devil is the cause of all of the problems in this world. It's not your spouse. It's not your children. It's not your in-laws or the outlaws. No, it's the devil. He is the one behind everything. We're not wrestling flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. King James says high places. But people don't realize the power of prayer. If they did, they would pray more. But I try to teach people to be a prayer warrior. Hallelujah. Look at this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Not the works of people around you, the works of the devil. The devil is behind everything that is evil. He's behind every sickness. He's behind every disease. He's behind every family problem, every church problem, every financial problem. Because when God created man, everything was good. And then when he looked at man, he said, it's very good. Hallelujah. You're the apex of God's creation. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and to take back the authority that Adam relinquished in the garden. Look at Hebrews 2:14. You need to memorize this. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus Christ, likewise also took part of the same. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So you're not wrestling flesh. You're not wrestling something natural. You are in a spiritual warfare, and you're wrestling the powers of darkness. And you have to know that. So Jesus took on flesh so that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Look at Colossians 2:15. He didn't just come to destroy him. The Bible says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. But what I want you to see is this. We are involved in a spiritual warfare, and we're not trying to defeat the enemy. No, he is already defeated. Jesus defeated him. Jesus stripped him of his power. And it's just like what happened in World War II. Now, I'm a military man, and I understand the difference in a conquering army and an occupying army. An army that conquers, they go in and they just level everything. And they establish a compound, they establish a government there, and then they rule that country out of that. And they send in what's called an occupying army. They come and they occupy. That's what happened in World War II. The Allied armies, they defeated Japan. They conquered them. But we left an occupying army over there to enforce the victory that the conquering army had won. Well, that's what happened at Calvary. Jesus Christ, unequivocally, he defeated the devil. He made a show of him openly. The devil knows that he is eternally defeated. Every demon in his kingdom, every devil of darkness, they know that Satan is eternally defeated. They just do not want you to know that he's defeated. Every time you stand in the authority of the name of Jesus, as you say, in Jesus' name, that devil understands whether or not you realize your position in Christ. And if you'll stay under the blood and stay suited up and stay full of the Holy Ghost, then you can win every victory that you will ever face in life. Every victory. Not some of your victories, but every victory. Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, I'm giving you the authority to push him around. See, Satan had, he had the authority over the earth. But Jesus came as the last Adam, and he took the authority back, and then he turned around and he gave the keys of God's kingdom to the church. That's why I entitled this message, God Works When the Church Prays. God works when the church prays. And now, whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. The literal translation says, whatsoever we have already bound on earth is already bound in heaven. Whatsoever we've already loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And to do that, you have to have a good scriptural knowledge. You have to understand who you are. You have to know what the Word of God says. And that's why it's so important that we study. That's why it's so important that you memorize the Word, read the Word every year. The Holy Ghost will talk to you. He'll speak to you, and he'll show you how to win your battles. I remember when I first got saved, I'm going to tell you, I was in a mess. My life was. But God showed me how to win my battles, and I won them all. Hallelujah. And he won them for me. That's what you have to realize, that when the enemy comes against you, he's not just coming against you personally. He's coming against Jesus. Jesus is the one that defeated him. Jesus is the one that bought you. Jesus is the one that purchased you with his blood. He's the one that you belong to. And when you've done all to stand, he says, just stand and see the salvation of the Lord. What I want you to see, that if God be for us, who can be against us? And God is for us. God is with us. And hallelujah. Eyes not seen, it's not heard. It's not even into the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So I want you to get this picture firmly imprinted in your mind tonight, because I'm going to spin off of this and give you some biblical examples to show you how the church or the saint of God wins in the world of prayer. So first of all, man is in first heaven. God is in third heaven. Satan rules his kingdom from second heaven. You will not find the term second heaven in the Bible. It's not there. That's first heaven, where man lives, and you look up at night, you see the heaven. That's third heaven, where God resides. He resides in the sides of the north. Amen. And in that second heaven, between first heaven, if there's a third heaven, Paul said, I was caught up in the third heaven. So if there's a third heaven and there's a first heaven, just by the common sense and the power of deduction, you come up with as a second heaven. So second heaven is between first heaven and third heaven. And the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places or in the heavenly places. So you need to have that picture in your mind, because if you can learn how to pray, and if you can learn how to praise God, and you can fast and pray, and some things it'll take both of those. If you could, a granny can cast the devil down with her praise. Just an old granny, hallelujah. Just a white-headed granny. Amen. I'm headed that way, not to be a granny, but to be a grandpa. I am a grandpa. But, you know, it's not your strength. It's God's strength in you. And you have to realize that it's not your name that's on the line. It's the name of Jesus Christ. And when you get that picture and you understand it, that between you and me and third heaven, there's a place where of darkness where the devil has set up his kingdom. He's not in hell like a lot of people think. No, he rules his kingdom from the heavens. And it's up to you and me, and it's up to the church to cast the devil down, and it's up to us to establish God's kingdom on this earth. God gives you his word. He gave you the name of Jesus. He gave you the blood. He's given us the Holy Ghost. He's given us prayer. He's given us weapons that we can use. And the more of the weapons that you use in your warfare, the quicker you will come forth more than a conqueror. The Bible says we're more than conquerors. That means that what I'm fighting, Jesus has already conquered it for me. What you're fighting, he's already taken care of. Now, there are people who teach that you don't have to cast the devil down. And I just read you from the Apostle Paul. So somebody that teaches that kind of stuff, that's unscriptural. That's not true. They say under today's dispensation, you know, the devil has already been cast down. He has, but he rules his kingdom from the heavens. So they need to go teach the Apostle Paul that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament that he was wrong. I don't think he was wrong at all. Amen. But there are people that they are wrong because they are not scriptural. But even though the devil is eternally defeated, he still rules his kingdom from the heavens. And he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So you're not wrestling flesh and blood. It's not a natural warfare. I wish sometimes it were so I could just, you know, unleash everything on him at one time. But I unleash it all right. I just have to figure out where he's coming from, what he's doing sometimes. But we're involved in a spiritual warfare, and it's important that we remember that we're not trying to defeat the devil. He's already defeated. The church is in this world to occupy the earth until the Lord returns. We are here to enforce the victory that Jesus won at Calvary. So, with all that said, where does the battle begin and how is the battle won? Where does it begin? How's it won? Jesus gives us the answer. Look at Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not quit. In this parable, Jesus tells a story about a persistent woman and an unjust judge. This woman keeps coming to him day after day, asking this unjust judge to avenge her of her adversary. She says, I want you to give me relief in this area. She keeps asking him for justice. And she keeps coming day after day. And finally, the unjust judge said, though I fear not God nor man, because this woman keeps coming, she's about to wear me out, and I'm going to see to it that she gets justice. She just wouldn't give up. Jesus said, men always pray and not faint, not quit. She wouldn't quit. But I want you to look at what Jesus said in Luke 18:7. He said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Sometimes the answer just doesn't come all at once. You don't, it's like in Vietnam, we couldn't always see the enemy, but we didn't understand always the pain and the destruction that we were bringing upon him until we could go in and see the aftermath of it. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God and fighting against the kingdom of darkness. You cannot see unless the Holy Ghost opens your eyes through a gift of the word of knowledge or the gift of word of wisdom. You cannot see into the spirit world. God does open eyes for people occasionally and lets them see. I've had words of wisdom. I've had words of knowledge. I've had times where God showed me the future. And he showed me how to fight. I've had times when he would just show me the battle with the word of knowledge. He would show me a present condition that existed. And when that happens, and that's a gift of the Spirit, he's giving you encouragement. He's showing you so you can see what you're fighting against. But you're not fighting flesh and blood. Some of you, you may realize, after hearing teaching like this, you may realize, hey, I've had those moments where God showed me something. They're gifts of the Spirit. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not natural. They're mighty through God, and they're given to pull down the strongholds of darkness and for us to win the victory and establish God's kingdom, and then we're to go out and set the captive free. Hallelujah. That's why God does what he does. So I ask you, why is prayer necessary? Does a sovereign, all-powerful God need our involvement in the world of prayer? There are people that think, well, he's sovereign. He can do anything he wants to anytime he wants to. Well, he is sovereign. Does a sovereign, all-powerful God need the involvement of the church in the world of prayer? The answer is yes, because we know that God works through prayer, and I'm going to show you that. When we pray and repent of our sins, we are saved. How do we get saved? By praying the sinner's prayer. That's what we call it. Amen. But we get saved through prayer. We're born again through the world of prayer. There's power in prayer, and God works when we pray. Prayer can bring salvation to the lost. Prayer can bring healing to the sick. Prayer can bring revival to the church. And they will. Hallelujah. Prayer can change a community. Prayer can change a nation. Prayer can pull down the strongholds of darkness. And they are pulled down when we pray. If we don't pray, guess what? The hand of God does not move. People don't realize the power that's in prayer. They don't realize what happens when they start praying. And the devil will try to keep you out of the world of prayer because he does not want you to exercise the authority that's been given over you. There are homes that are torn apart simply because people don't pray. There are communities that they're devastated simply because we don't pray. There are governments that are established simply because the church does not pray. If the church prays, let me tell you, the church has got power. The church has got authority. God will set up his kingdom on this earth. Righteousness exalts the nation. But when the church does not pray, then God does not move. He'll give people what they want. If you don't believe it, back when he had set up judges, God never intended for them to have a king, for Israel to have a king. But they kept asking for a king like everybody around them. So he said, okay, if you want a king, then I'll give you a king. He wanted to be their king. He wants to be your king. He wants to be my king. He wants to be the king of everything we do. Hallelujah. And when we pray, God moves. Dominion has been given to man over this earth. It was given originally. That dominion and that authority was given over to Satan when he invaded the garden and he lied and man listened to his lie. It wasn't even what Eve did. Everybody wants to blame Eve. She was not in authority. It was not Eve's fault. Adam was there with her. She took of the apple, she ate, and she gave it to him. And when he ate it, the Bible says, the man was not deceived. The woman was deceived. He volitionally, he willfully partook of that fruit. And when he did, death reigned upon all men. He had authority. That's why God says, and let me just aggravate some of you real bad. You may be walking by live stream. That's why God said the husband is the head of the home, even as Christ is the head of the church. The husband has authority. And if your home is not in that type of order, then you'll have problems in your home. So let everybody find their own place. Hallelujah. Like that one? See, the dominion and the authority that Adam had, he gave it over to Satan. But on the cross, Jesus took back that authority, and he has given the authority over to the church. So there's power in prayer, and God works through the prayers of his people. Now, God has chosen from the very beginning to work on this planet through man and not independent of him. I need to say that. God does not work independent of man. Somebody somewhere is praying. Somebody somewhere is calling on God when a blessing shows up. Hallelujah. Jesus can walk through the wall, but I promise you this, on the authority of God's word, somebody has prayed before he come walking through the wall. The Holy Spirit can come and convict someone of their sins, but somebody has prayed and somebody has called upon God. Look at what God does, how he moves in nations. Look at the wars. Look at what has happened to mankind. When the church has started to pray, great revivals they come. And then a spiritual awakening hits that nation. It hits a home. It hits a family. It hits a community. If we could ever get the family straight, praise God, guess what? The whole world would be straight. Because the family get into the church, they'd be straight. Amen? Hallelujah. So God has chosen to work through man. And even though God is sovereign and even though God is all-powerful, he has chosen, listen to this, to limit himself concerning the affairs of this earth, and he works through people. And even though God has initiated something, when he earnestly desires to do something, he still needs us to pray. And that's powerful. God initiates something. God desires to do it, but God has limited himself to the world of prayer. Man has the authority on this earth. The devil had taken that, but when Jesus came, the last Adam, he took that authority and gave it to the church. That's why his name carries such power. So people think, well, God doesn't need for us to pray. Well, evidently, he does. I want you to watch this principle unfold. And I'm going to be reading from 1 Kings chapter 18. But there had been a drought on the earth for 3 years, and then God spoke to his prophet. Look what God said, 1 Kings 18:1. It came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah in the third day, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now, whose idea was it to send rain? It's God's idea. Whose will was it to send rain? God told the prophet, you go and you tell Ahab that I will send the rain upon the earth. So it was God's will and it was God's idea. It was not Elijah's. It was God's will. It was God's plan. It was God's idea. So why did Elijah have to pray? You just go tell him. And why did he pray, and why did he have to pray 7 times before the rain came? He had to pray and he had to persevere in prayer until the rain came. You remember the story how he was on the mountaintop and he prayed and he sent his servant Gehazi out and he asked him, you know, do you see a cloud? He said, well, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Elijah sent Elisha out. And so he keeps going. He says, go again, go again. And finally he sees the cloud, and he says, about the size of a man's hand, he says, quick, get off of this mountaintop. Yes. If you go back and remember when he called down fire from heaven, he poured out something that was very precious. What are you pouring out to God in your life? He took the thing that was the most precious thing that was a drought, that was a famine. And he says, I want you to take, after the prophets of Baal had failed, he said, I want you to take and I want you to prepare the altar. He fixed it and put everything on. He said, pour out 3 barrels of water. And he said, pour 3 more. And after that, he said, pour 3 more. And then he said, look, pour 3 more. And so the altar was saturated, and God that answers by fire came down. He said, I love a sacrifice. Yes. And he licked up all that water. Now, when the rain came, I want you to see the power of a sacrifice. Yes. God rains on the just and the unjust. Yes. So when the rains came, what happened was there were 12 tribes. There were 12 barrels of water. All 12 tribes got the water. The sacrifice was made by the prophet. What kind of sacrifices do you make? Are you really concerned about your family? Are you concerned about your church? Are you concerned about your community? Are you concerned about revival? What kind of sacrifice are you making? Well, you're praying and fasting because there's a sign-up sheet. So we're making a sacrifice. But the greater your sacrifice, the greater will be the blessing. The greater the seed that you sow, the greater the harvest will be that you reap. So God takes what we have, and when we put it in his hands, God uses that to multiply blessings back to us. But not only does he multiply those blessings to us, in the process of time, there'll be some unjust people in there, and they will get the rain. They will get the blessing. Why? Because God is looking after you, his chosen one. And God is a great God. And we just praise God for that. Amen. But the only logical answer for that rain coming, even though God had initiated that he was going to send rain, the only logical answer for the rain coming is that the prophet prayed. Amen. See, there's a real devil. And here's where the battle begins. And we have to cast him down from second heaven in order to establish God's kingdom on the earth. Why would God need us to do anything if he had already willed to do something? People say, oh, if it's God's will, he'll heal you. He'll heal you when the prayer of faith is prayed. He'll heal you when someone is operating in the gifts of the Spirit where they've given themselves to seasons of prayer and fasting. He'll heal you when he sends his word and you catch hold of it by faith because you've been praying or you've been reading your Bible and God's been talking to you. He'll heal you. He's a healer. Amen. But why does God need man to do anything if he's already willed to do it? Why does God need for me to get up here and preach? Why does God need for you to hear the word and go out and witness? He's already willed. It's the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come unto repentance. So God has willed it. What's the church doing about it? They're asleep. Most of the church is asleep. Hallelujah. I want us to be wide awake. I need help, don't you?
Amen.
Why should we need to do anything if God is all powerful? It's because Satan, the god of this world, that's what the Bible calls him, and the church, they're in a battle. And we have to establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Just like it is in third heaven, we're to establish that kingdom here. Amen. So a similar thing happened when Israel was in Babylon. Let me give you another example. Daniel, he was taken there as a youth, and he got a hold of the scroll of Jeremiah. And he discovered that Jeremiah had prophesied that the captivity of Israel in Babylonian captivity would be for 70 years. And God moved on Daniel, and Daniel began to pray. And he prayed 21 days. And finally, the angel of the Lord showed up and said, Daniel, God has heard you. He heard you the first day. But I was detained by the prince of Persia, a foul demon spirit that controlled the heavenness above Babylon. They wrestled with Gabriel, the messenger angel, to keep him from breaking through and carrying Daniel his answer. So God sends Michael, the warrior angel, to contend with that spirit so that Gabriel could break through and carry Daniel his answer. And I love this. When he got there, he said, Daniel, you a man highly favored of God. Hallelujah. I like that. I want to be in that heroes of faith there, highly favored of God. Amen. But God kept on working because Daniel kept on praying. That's the only reason. Daniel prayed for 21 days. And guess what? He was fasting and praying. And Jesus said, there are some things you can only get in life by prayer coupled with fasting. How bad do you want it? When I got saved, like I said, you know, I needed some answers. And so nobody taught me to fast. Nobody taught me. I just found it in the Bible, and I started my journey of fasting and prayer. Nobody pulled me aside and taught me to pray. What I did was I got around people that knew how to pray. Hallelujah. Prayer is more caught than taught. It's like the Holy Ghost. You get around the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and all of a sudden you'll find yourself speaking in tongues because you get filled with the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost is there. I'll never forget the businessman that he came and he asked me, he said, how do you get that Holy Ghost? I said, how do you get anything? You go to where it is. I said, would you go to a service station and sit out there if the pump's set out of gas? I said, people can be so smart in the natural world and so stupid in the spiritual world. I said, you go to a place that has gas to get gas. And if you want the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God, you go to where they are. And I carried him to a church of God that was having revival over in Rocky Mount. And we went up to the altar and prayed. And we prayed a few minutes, and he turned and he walked away. I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going back to my seat." I said, "Did you get the Holy Ghost?" He said, "No." I said, "What'd you come here for?" He said, "I came here for the Holy Ghost." I said, "Well, get back in this altar and pray." See, you got to pray until you. And we prayed some more with him, laid hands on him. All of a sudden, this Baptist boy was speaking in tongues. As the Spirit of God gives the other, filled with the Holy Ghost. And he became one of my best friends, you know. He loved to call on me because he knew he was going to hear something about God and the power of God. But go to where it is, hallelujah. And that's how you get anything. Amen. See, we know that God desires to save the lost. So why do we have to pray? Why do I have to preach? Look at what Jesus said, Luke 10 and 2. "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray." Isn't that beautiful? "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest." See, God moves and God works when the church prays. God needs our prayers. I know that blows some people away. I said, God needs our prayers. We need to pray because we need answers. But God needs our prayers because God moves when we pray. He said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest." How is revival coming to this nation? I wish the church could wake up to this. I'm talking about leadership way up there. How is revival going to come? "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers." Every preacher that doesn't pray is an indictment against them. Everyone that doesn't have a rich prayer life, a Bible study life, if they're in the pulpit, it's an indictment against them. Because Jesus said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest." Now, God needs our prayers because he has chosen to limit himself to the affairs concerning this earth. God has chosen to work through human beings. I hope you're seeing this. Why did Jesus teach his disciples to pray, "Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," if prayer doesn't matter? Why did Jesus teach them to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," if prayer doesn't matter? Why did the Apostle Paul say, "We will give ourselves continue to prayer and ministry of the word," if prayer does not matter? Hallelujah. I hope you can see by now that God has chosen to work through the saints. And when it comes to the affairs of this earth, that's how he works. He's put a church here to establish his kingdom on earth. Now, right here, I want to make a prayer connection. Look at 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. I'm going to go back to that. It's where I started. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." You're in a warfare. You have an enemy. He wants to destroy your soul. He's after your soul. Your soul is eternal. Your soul will always exist. You will always be somewhere. There will never be a time when you are not. Amen. In the eons of eternity, you and I, we will be somewhere. The only question is where. Will it be in the horrors of hell or in the splendors of heaven? I want to be in heaven myself. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Not only is he after your soul, he's after your family. He's after your seed. And when I began to see the promises of God and his promise to save me and to save my seed, and I began to understand how God had protected my life because my mother and my daddy had a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, and they were prayer warriors, then I understood that I needed to pray, and I needed to give my all to God if I wanted to see my little children and my family and my prosperity blessed. Amen. Prosperity. I want to see them blessed. And if I had no other reason to pray other than to see my children's lives blessed, I would pray and I would seek God. God answers prayer. God needs our prayers because he's chosen to limit himself. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 10, 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now notice that phrase, "to the pulling down of strongholds. How do we do that? We do that by prayer. Here's the way I do it. Devil, I come against you in Jesus' name. I cancel your assignment in Jesus' name. Get your hands off my body. Get your hands off my home. Get your hands off my finance. I have authority over you. I have the power of the Holy Ghost. And I command you to go. I command the demons that you have sinned against me to go back to you. I command them to stop, to cease at what they're doing. So you got to talk to the devil like that. And you break his power by the authority of the name of Jesus. And if you're not willing to be involved in a conflict, then you will just be an average type Christian and you'll never win the battles of life. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. Paul said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing everything into captivity of the obedience of Christ. That word strongholds is equivalent to a fort or prison or place where Satan holds people captive. Can you see how he holds people bound? And he'll come in and he'll take a situation, and by the time he finishes with it, there'll be chaos and confusion. Satan has a place where he takes our goods and he puts them in his warehouse. He puts your name on it. And he's got your stuff. Are you going to go after your stuff? Are you going to tell him you release it? I command you to release my finances. I command you to let go of the blessings that belong to me. I command you in Jesus' name. I command your power broken off of my health. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I command you to loose my children. I have authority over you. I know it and you know it. Let them go. And whatever he's taken from you and he's got in that warehouse, go and claim your goods. How can a strong man enter into a house and spoil the goods except he first bind the strong man? You've got to bind him. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So sinners are held prisoners and they're held captives and they're held slaves by the power of darkness. And guess what? Jesus came to release the captives. But he's not here to do the job. And he has commanded us to set the captive free. Hallelujah. See, God works when the church prays. We have the keys of the kingdom. We've been given authority to cast the devil down. We've been given authority to bind him. We've been given authority to loose God's blessings. And when you have knowledge of God, you can break those strongholds. But how do you do it? You do it through prayer. It's just that simple. And God moves when the church prays. Pastor Ricky, the church was born in prayer. Jesus told those disciples, he said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high." And on the day of Pentecost, they've been praying for 10 straight days. When the Holy Ghost hit that little upper room, they were there continually praising God. That means they didn't go out to the Big Mac place and McDonald's get a Big Mac. They didn't go out to Burger King. Amen. They were fasting. They were praying. They were seeking God. The Holy Ghost had been promised, and they weren't disappointed. He hit that place like a rushing mighty wind. They turned the whole world upside down. And the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that's why, even though God is a sovereign, all-powerful God, he has chosen to limit himself concerning the affairs of this earth to working through people. And even when God initiates something, and when he earnestly desires to do it, God does not move until the church prays. You've got power, omnipotent power inside of you. Turn it loose. Thank you for praying and fasting during this season. There are souls in the balance. There's a harvest. There's a church to be built. There are homes that need joy. Homes that need peace. Homes that need a mother and a daddy. Homes. And it's up to the church to pray. Let us stand.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
I love you, Lord. Tell him how much you love him.
So here I am to worship.
Tell him how much you're depending upon him. So much that you're going
to
push your plate away.
You're going to
pray and fast. Read the word. And give yourself to a season. During this 21-day period of seeking the Most High God. Praying for the harvest. Praying for God's perfect will to be done. Hallelujah. Worship him, church.
And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you for victory. Glory in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we just praise you that the powers of darkness are broken in the name of Jesus. We release your power, your grace, your love, and your favor. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands up and praise him. Say, thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord, for victory in my life. I praise you, Lord. You're worthy of praise. I call upon your name, Lord, and I just thank you, hallelujah, that my best is yet to come. That my best days are ahead, Lord, because I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to spend time in prayer, seeking you, Lord. I want my life to be blessed so I can be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. I release God's blessing, God's anointing, God's glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I command this heart to beat properly. I command the blood pressure to be normal. Lord, you heal my heart. Glory to God. And Lord, you gave me strength when I had none. And Brother Elon, Lord, he's had this problem with his heart jumping rhythm. But Lord, I pray that it will be healed tonight. There will never be another moment it will jump rhythm. Ramokoshataya. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, I release God's miracle creative power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The creative power of God. We praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for moving. Cal, come here, buddy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, there's a man right here, Lord, that where he was working, they promised him a job. Lord, it looks like the doors were closed, but you're the door. And Lord, I'm asking you to give him an encouraging moment. Give him a job, God, a good job with benefits. You know where he's supposed to be. You know where he's supposed to work. You know his giftings. You know his lying down. You know his rising up. And you know his heart has been miraculously changed by your glory. So, Lord, I ask you to bless his life. To bless him, Lord, and teach him how to pray. Lead him, oh God, in paths of righteousness. Give him those encouraging moments, God, because we all need those when we're fighting against the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. I say, be blessed in Jesus' name. I bless you. I bless you and I praise you, God, for giving him that job and opening those doors for them, hallelujah, giving them opportunities, Lord, to talk to people and witness to them about what you can do in a life, and Lord, for transforming his life. Come here, Beth, hallelujah, come in and stand beside him, hallelujah. Vera, Brother Doug, all the family, come on, get around him, hallelujah. I want us to get around Kyle, hallelujah, and I want this church family to stretch forth your hand here. Here's a man that wants to work. Here's a man that God has changed his life. God has given him miracles. Good, buddy. Hallelujah. I'll never forget the night he came and he said, I want God to give him my daddy back. He stands. Here he is. Hallelujah. In the house of God. Lord, we love you. And Father, we can't do these things. But I preach the message. God works when the church prays. And God, we pray for a very special need here, for a special person, Lord, someone that you have chosen to bless, Lord, and I release blessings, hallelujah, and Lord, I release joy unspeakable that's full of glory upon him. I know how it is, Lord, to fight that battle when it looked like the whole world is turned upside down on you, but Lord, make him a world changer, change his world, and make him a world changer, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's it. Let the Holy Ghost. Let it work. Yes, that's it. Hallelujah. Go on, praise me. Yes, glory. Hallelujah. Devil, I break your power in Jesus' name. Let his finances go in Jesus' mighty name. Let go. You have no power. You have no authority. Take authority over you in Jesus' name. And we bless our brother. His church blesses him. Anybody that feels led to come and bless him.
And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross.
Power's in the cross and the blood.